Hello, everyone. This is Cartoons to Castles,
the history behind the mouse and magic. I'm Melanie.
And I'm Jessica. We're best friends and Disney nerds who wanted to learn more about the history behind the Walt Disney Company's movies, shows, music, theme parks, and more, and share it all with you.
So thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's episode.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 4 of Cartoons to Castles. We are so excited. We have a guest again on this episode, which we've really enjoyed having them pick the topic, and we will dive into that in just a moment. But first, Melanie and I wanted to read some of the wonderful reviews that you guys have left us on Apple Podcasts. And just thank you guys for all the kind ratings and reviews. From now on, we're going to be reading a couple reviews each week. So if you want to put them up there, we would love to read them on the podcast. And that really helps people discover Cartoons to Castles, since ratings help with our ranking in Apple Podcasts. So it's so appreciated.
Yeah, and our visibility. So it's really awesome when you give us those good ratings and reviews. We love it. So should I start with mine, Jess?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. This one is from Juwash. That's how it's spelled. J-U-O-S-H. So Juwash says, the perfect blend of smart and silly, friendly and engaging hosts, lots of funny, fun facts, and hilarious historical anecdotes. Good guests, too. I like that review a lot because of all of the alliteration. I adore alliteration.
I do too.
And the perfect blend of smart and silly, I think, is what Jessica and I are always striving for with our personalities. So that was a nice compliment. Thank you, Juwash.
Thank you.
And then my second one I picked simply because of the username, which is Sydney C. Bass DeLorean. And Sydney C. Bass DeLorean says, charming hosts who do a ton of research. I wasn't expecting to learn anything new about Disneyland's opening day. I was just excited to hear two women talk about Disney. Well, guess what? These ladies dug deep and offered up some tales I never heard or read before. This is a much welcomed feel-good podcast at a time where a lot of us don't feel so good. Looking forward to future episodes. That was a really nice one. We like hearing when the podcast can cheer people up. That's a really nice compliment.
Yeah, it's definitely cheered me and Melanie up to do it and do the research. Yeah. So it's great to hear that you guys feel the same listening to it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have a couple here I'd love to read. We have one from Carly W. She says, I love this podcast so much. Not only do the hosts exude so much energy, it could cure my pandemic blues, but it's so nice to hear about Disney history in such an absolutely fun format from such knowledgeable fans. Love, love, love. Again, like curing the pandemic blues, we love to hear it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the last one I have here to read today is Kristen from Kristen C17. I'm not typically a podcast person, but I am a Disney person, and this is such a great podcast. The first episode was full of information about the opening of Disneyland that even as a big Disney fan, I didn't know yet. Every Disney fan should listen. Even if you're not such a big podcast person, this will make you one. That All is so right. awesome to hear. Thank you, Thank everyone. You.
We appreciate those reviews.
Should we introduce our guest?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Okay. This week, we have a really fun topic and guest. Our guest today is a hardcore Disney fan, originally from Hampton Roads, Virginia. He currently lives in Los Angeles and works in the art department on NBC's Superstore. He loves to Disneybound, cosplay, and analyze films of all genres.
Please welcome Pernell Langhorne. Welcome.
Yay. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh yeah, my gosh. We're so glad you're here.
Well, you're here virtually.
Yes, you're virtually.
I mean, that's the best you could get right now, and I love it. Virtual hangouts are a lot of help.
It's an honor, so I'm happy to be here.
Yay.
So why don't you tell the listeners what topic you chose and why you picked it?
So we are talking about Walt Disney's The Parent Trap, and I picked it because of the wonderful storytelling that embodies it when it comes to the journey of the two sisters bringing the parents together and the parents having their own journey together. It's just such a family-oriented movie, and I value that so much, and I wanted to talk about it and, you know, even go deeper into the other movies that they've created, not just the remake and the original. So I just love The Parent Trap with all my being.
Yeah, yes. we love it too.
So do I. I absolutely adore The Parent Trap. I grew up with both the movies, and I still watch them all the time. I never get tired of them. So I was super excited for us to dive deep into research this.
Yes.
Yeah. So should I start us off with the original Parent Trap?
Please.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go. The Parent Trap, the very first Parent Trap, was released in the summer of 1961 and starred Hayley Mills in the dual role as a set of identical twins who were separated as infants after their parents got divorced. The dad, Mitch, took Susan to live in California, and the mom, Maggie, took Sharon to live in Boston. They each grew up without knowing they had a twin and happened to end up at the same summer camp when they're teenagers. After becoming enemies almost instantly and pranking each other through an escalating series of humiliating hijinks, there's that alliteration again, they're forced to share a cabin together and figure out that, duh, they're twin sisters. They decide to switch places and each go home to get to know the parent they didn't grow up with and also hatch another scheme to get their parents back together. Spoiler alert, unlike in real life, their plan works and the parents get remarried, presumably never to have any marriage troubles ever again. The other stars of the movie were Brian Keith, who played Mitch, and the absolutely stunning Maureen O'Hara, who played Maggie, and I'm jealous of all of her outfits in this movie.
Same.
Yeah. So on a personal note, I watched The Parent Trap all the time when I was a kid. I don't remember when I first saw it, but I loved going to Girl Scout camp every year, so I was totally into camp movies. I just, any camp movie I wanted to watch. And I also thought Hayley Mills was super cool, and the design of the movie was so fun and appealing. And I actually also like The Parent Trap 2, which Jess is going to talk about. I was a kid when that came out as well, so I was kind of doing a multi-generational thing where my mom liked the original Parent Trap and showed it to me, and then I saw The Parent Trap 2 and I liked that, and that was for my generation. So that was kind of fun to have both of those movies together. And actually, I was so into The Parent Trap that my mom was a little concerned that I was a fan of movies where kids manipulated their parents.
Because, oh my gosh.
Like a lot of us, my parents got divorced when I was young, and they each got remarried. And that was fine. And, you know, I lived with my mom and my stepdad and everything was good. But my mom was like, you know, Melanie, you shouldn't try to do your own Parent Trap. And I was like, no, I would never. I won't. I promise I won't try to Parent Trap you.
Like, they didn't want you to use it as an instruction book.
No, they didn't. I was just like, first of all, I don't have a twin. And second of all, I like it because it's a camp movie, okay? Like, Hayley Mills is cool. It's okay. Don't worry.
That is so, so I thought, funny.
That was really funny. I was just a little too into the movie and my mom was concerned about me.
You were into it so much, it was suspicious.
It was suspicious, yeah. So I actually didn't know this. Some of this, it's fun researching for this podcast because I come across facts that I didn't know about things that I loved. So,
oh my gosh, so did I. Wow.
Yeah. So the movie was based on a 1949 German short story called Lottie and Lisa. And the story was discovered by Disney's story editor, Bill Dover, who recommended that the studio buy it. So Walt Disney liked it, bought the rights, and asked David Swift, who had written and directed Pollyanna, to adapt it for American audiences. The star of The Parent Trap, as we talked about, is Hayley Mills, and she is the daughter of an actor and writer named Mary Hayley Bell and another actor named Sir John Mills. So she said she grew up on movie sets with her dad and that they were kind of her playground. That's a nice playground, right? I would have never minded
yeah.
that so much. She made her movie debut in the British film Tiger Bay in 1959 at the age of 13, and her father also starred in the movie with her. She received a BAFTA award, and for anyone who doesn't know, the BAFTA is like a British version of the Oscars, for Most Promising Newcomer. So Walt Disney saw the movie, and he was charmed by Hayley, obviously, and immediately put her under a contract, giving her the title role in 1960s Pollyanna. The film made Mills a star and earned her a special juvenile Oscar for her performance. As a side note, I actually didn't know about this award until researching for this episode, but juvenile Oscars were given to actors under age 18 for outstanding performances before the Best Supporting Actor and Actress categories were created and kids could kind of be umbrellaed under that category. A total of 12 actors were given these awards over the years, including Shirley Temple and Judy Garland, and Hayley Mills was the last actor to receive this special award. So The Parent Trap was Haley's next film, and it was directed by David Swift, who, as I said, also directed her in Pollyanna. And some of the titles they almost used for the movie were His and Hers, Susan and I, We Belong Together, For Now, For Always, and Petticoats and Blue Jeans, which is kind of cute.
What?
They even held a contest to see if anyone could come up with a better name. But director David Swift said that one day Walt Disney walked in and announced they were going to call it The Parent Trap and that there was no more debate. So he had the final word.
I wonder if he came up with that all of a sudden. Like, I'm just curious if his wife Lillian maybe had something to do with that. Because remember how he was going to name Mickey Mortimer, but then Lillian was like, no, you should name him Mickey. And I was like, I wonder if she came up with that brilliant idea. Just guessing.
Oh, maybe so. Maybe over the dinner table. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe like, hey, Walt, what about The Parent Trap?
I didn't see anything about where the idea came from.
No, again, I'm just coming up with a fun fantasy. Yeah.
What if she just left like sticky notes everywhere with titles? Like, how about this one? Like, just for his eyes to see.
I love it.
Exactly. I mean, I would totally do that if I'd been in that position. So Brian Keith was cast as Mitch, the twins' dad. And he had been playing cops, cowboys, and other tough guys for years, so he said he was nervous to take on his first romantic comedy lead in The Parent Trap. But he enjoyed making the movie, and it changed his career, kind of opening up to a broader range of roles in comedy and romantic leads. And he said, I've made, I don't know how many pictures, 40, I guess. I've seen only about a half dozen of them, but the kind of picture I enjoy seeing is something like Parent Trap. I saw that 4 times. I liked it so much, I forgot I was in it, as a matter of fact. So he apparently liked it as much as I did. Maureen O'Hara was cast as Maggie, the twins' mom. She had been a huge star in the 40s and 50s, but a false story published in 1957 in a scandal magazine hurt her career, which is really unfortunate. It's like, it wasn't even true. Yeah, so she sued the magazine and won, but still wasn't able to fully recover her former status as a top star. But she had recently made a comeback in a British film called Our Man in Havana in 1959, when the offer came from Disney to star in The Parent Trap. She loved the script and needed the work, but she was understandably reluctant to accept the role because Disney was offering her only a third of her customary salary. She wants to get paid. Yes. She held out and got the salary she wanted, and her contract stipulated that no other actress would be billed above her, but Disney decided to give Haley Mills top billing instead due to her popularity. I mean, I get it. She was the actual star of the movie, even though she was a kid, but still, like, oops.
She was the star times two.
times two.
Was there not enough to go around?
I know. Maureen said in her biography, in her autobiography, that she wanted to sue, but said, Mr. Disney had sent me a message through the grapevine, and it was startlingly clear. Sue me and I'll destroy you. I don't know that he probably didn't say that verbatim, but that was kind of the rumor that
the
she
tone.
Heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she never sued, but she didn't work with Disney again. But even though there were issues with her contract, she reportedly enjoyed working on The Parent Trap and was impressed by the talent and work ethic of Haley Mills. She said that Haley worked really hard on her American accent and developing 2 distinct characters for playing the twins. She said, it got quite confusing, and even Haley only knew which girl she was playing by which wig she was wearing. She hated wearing those wigs and thought the short one made her look like Laurence Olivier in Hamlet, which I thought... That was funny. They are kind of
I never realized
wigs.
They were wigs.
You didn't?
Oh, no. Yeah, they're definitely wigs.
I don't know why I never realized. I literally just watched the movie last night. All right, that makes sense.
Oh, well, I mean, she's super cute. She can make it work, but yeah.
I just thought, like, that was a 1960s style very much, like the haircut she had.
Yeah, it totally was. But it was definitely wigs, and she apparently did not like them. So... Speaking of wigs, when the movie starts out at the girls' summer camp, the twin from Boston, Sharon, has long hair, and the twin from California, Susan, has short hair. Haley Mills pointed out in the movie commentary that her real hair was long like Sharon's, but that in some scenes it looks as bad as a wig. So she didn't even feel like her own hair was very good in this movie.
Oh my gosh.
So at camp, they cut Susan's hair so that they will be able to switch places when they go home. So knowing which twin she was playing when became even more confusing for Haley, who is often playing one twin impersonating the other twin in some scenes. And even the filmmakers were confused because I actually noticed a continuity glitch when I rewatched the movie during one of the camp scenes when they were switching back and forth between Haley Mills and the actress who played her twin in many of the scenes. They forgot to put Susan's dirty sneakers back on and she was instead wearing some shiny little black flats that belonged to Sharon. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Nerd alert. I noticed the shoes.
Like any good fan does. That's amazing.
I know. Yes. Seriously. So speaking of Haley's twin, when she wasn't played by Haley herself, she was played by actress Susan Henning Shute, who was uncredited in the movie. When you see shots of Haley Mills hugging her twin or see them physically fighting or interacting, or they're doing like an over the shoulder shot and you see the back of the other twin's head, that is the actress Susan.
That's extra confusing since the actress's name is Susan.
Yes. Oh, yes. Goodness. The director was very confused all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Was that the young girl that was next to Haley when the cake's all over their face?
Oh.
When they're looking up at the camera?
I'm not sure about that scene. I don't remember if it was a split screen or not, but
okay.
That's the actress that's next to her in most of the scenes. They were touching each other, right, in that scene?
I'm pretty sure, but I feel like they show their faces so close up. I'll have to go back and rewatch it. And
it's
we'll
like
have
a slow zoom into the face. They're like looking up and it's the camera's like
if they're touching
down.
Each other, I bet it is her.
But their faces are like covered in cake.
In
so
cake.
I think they
you can't tell.
That.
So you can't tell.
I think
tell.
They use that to their advantage.
They're like,
yeah.
We need more cake so people can notice.
I think they just had both had blue eyes, so I think they just needed that.
Yeah, exactly. There were a lot of times where you're watching the movie and you can actually see Susan's face full on, but she's kind of more in the background and Haley Mills is in the foreground. But you can see her full face and you can see that it's not Haley Mills. So it's interesting how they mixed that in. And I'm definitely going to talk about the effects that they used later on. She was cast as the other twin because she looked enough like Haley to play her in scenes where she's shown from the back or side. And she had to sign a contract promising to never tell anyone she was in the movie. But years later, Disney softened the rules and Henning was actually interviewed for the special features on the Parent Trap DVD. And I'm glad they finally let her talk about the movie because she did have some fun stories from her time on the set, which I wanted to share. So Susan, the actress, not the character, said they gave her a rubber nose to wear, put a roll of tissue paper under her lip to make it stick out a little, and padded her bra to try to look more like Haley.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. She said that she and Haley became friends and she taught her how to talk with American slang. In a D23 video I watched, Sharon said that the girls drew makeup mustaches on themselves when they were filming one of the scenes to kind of do a prank on the crew. But that happened to be the day that Walt was visiting the set. And when he saw what they'd done, he was like, girls, do you know how much money and production time that wastes when you do things like this? So they ran backstage and they took off the makeup and they never pulled a prank again during the rest of filming.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not angry. I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed in you girls.
You were only aware of the amount of money.
If Walt Disney like acted disappointed with me, I would feel like so devastated.
I would be so sad.
I would just cry in a corner.
I know.
Yeah, they never misbehaved again. But they did play pranks on their family, though. Susan said that she even once fooled Haley Mills' mom when she came to pick her up from set one day. Haley's mom saw the girls sitting down from behind and tapped Susan's head as she walked by and said, "Come on, Haley." So Haley gestured for Susan to take her mom's hand and walk ahead with her. And they got a ways down the sidewalk before Haley's mom looked over and noticed it was Susan instead. And Haley was just back behind them laughing.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was cute. So aside from occasional hijinks, Susan worked really hard on the movie and actually learned both twins' parts of the script so that she would be able to switch parts whenever needed. She said it was technically challenging to shoot because she would have to do the opposite of her instincts as an actor, which was to hide her face as often as possible and make sure the camera didn't see her features. Obviously, as an actor, you're always cheating out and trying to find your window, but she had to do the opposite and like close the window and make sure her face wasn't seen. In certain scenes, like the one in the camp where one twin is pranking another by spreading honey and mud and string all over the cabin, also took days to film because the girls had to keep switching places and the setup was so complicated. So Susan was a really important part of the film, but even though she couldn't receive screen credit or talk about the movie at the time, at the movie's wrap party, Walt Disney highlighted her hard work when he presented her with a statue of Donald Duck called the Duckster for Best Unseen Performance. I thought that was
cute. I love that.
Yeah, there's actually a picture of them online of Haley standing next to Susan and she's holding the little duck statue.
Wow.
We'll have to put that up on our Instagram.
Yeah, we'll have to share that.
I keep saying wow because I'm learning so much and I'm soaking in all this Parent Trap goodness.
I know. I'm going to learn so much from you too, I'm sure. So the movie obviously wasn't just filmed with a double, as there were a lot of scenes with Haley Mills acting across from Haley Mills. Walt asked UB iWorks to figure out a film technique for having two Haleys on the screen at the same time. Now, UB was like kind of the go-to person at the studio at the time for photographic cinema effects. So Walt didn't really know how to do this effect. He's like, UB, can you figure this out? UB iWorks actually never even finished high school, but he basically taught himself about filming and camera techniques and even pioneered many of the visual effects that were used at the studio throughout the years. So while Walt and the director and writer David Swift were storyboarding and acting out scenes, UB was figuring out how to actually film the movie. David Swift said he didn't know anything about filming doubles of one actor on screen, but that the camera department at the studio helped him out and basically told him how to film Haley for the double scenes. So they would say, okay, Haley's going to stand here and you'll film this. And then she's going to move here and you'll film this. And he was just like, okay, I'll go ahead and do that then. Ultimately, they ended up using a double exposure process when both twins were seen side by side. The technique was known as split screen. We know that technique well now, but that was actually a really innovative technique at the time. They would essentially film the scene twice, one time with Haley's body double standing across from her, and again with the two girls switching roles, places, costumes, and wigs, and then filming the scene again. So a little about the process. The camera would be secured very tightly so that nothing moved between the filming of both sides of the scene. They would film one side of the scene with a mat blacking out the other side and then would switch to film Haley again. And there were even footprints on the floor of the set to make sure Haley didn't end up stepping out of frame or messing with the other side of the shot when it came time to film it. After she was done filming both parts of the scene, the two strips of film were then re-photographed one frame at a time in a device called an optical printer. And I didn't realize this, but I learned that in order to avoid a visible line between the two Haleys, the filmmakers used background elements like tent poles, signs, door frames, or bedposts to split the screen evenly. Then they could put the line slightly out of focus to soften the edges and make it look seamless. And there are certain scenes where it's like the let's get together scene where one twin runs out and the other twin follows her in the same direction running out. So how they did those scenes is that they could just take the black mat that they were using to hide part of the screen and kind of move it over to follow the other twin. And then the other twin could follow behind. That way, when she went into the other side of the scene, she didn't just disappear into thin air.
It's genius.
Yeah, it was amazing. All the hard work and innovation paid off because The Parent Trap was well received both by critics and audiences and eventually became a home video classic that was enjoyed by multiple generations, as it definitely was in my family. Critics at the time seemed to agree on the talent of Haley Mills. The New York Times said the film should be most appealing to parents as well as to children because of the cheerfully persuasive dual performances of Haley Mills. Time magazine called it delightful. Variety said that the film was absolutely predictable from the outset, but was still a winner thanks to Haley, who seems to have an instinctive sense of comedy and an uncanny ability to react in just the right manner. Her contribution to the picture is virtually infinite. It's a very glowing review.
I know. Virtually infinite.
Virtually infinite. The Los Angeles Times declared it a comedy unusually well-designed for the entire family, enough sight gags to keep the children screaming, and enough clever dialogue to amuse their parents. I don't know about children screaming, but I do agree that it's good for the whole family.
It really is.
Yeah. Really is. The film was nominated for two Academy Awards, one for sound and the other for film editing, which is totally understandable because they were breaking new ground.
Disney, that's what they do.
That's what they do.
Breaking those barriers.
Yeah, exactly. The movie currently has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 90% from critics and 75% from users. That's pretty good, especially for a film from 1961.
Yeah. For sure. A family film, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So some random trivia to wrap up. Hayley Mills also sang in the movie. Richard and Robert Sherman, who also wrote the music for Mary Poppins and many other Disney projects, wrote three songs for the movie. The Parent Trap, For Now, For Always, and Let's Get Together. Hayley Mills performs Let's Get Together as the twins for her movie parents in one scene, so they double-tracked her voice. And as a side note, my husband has been playing guitar since he was a teenager, so he loves to point out how badly she mimes playing guitar in that scene.
It's like the strumming is going up and down.
Just the strumming, and he's like, look at her left hand, she's not even holding the strings.
We were watching, as I mentioned, we were watching the 1961 Parent Trap last night, and my husband, Garrett, he also plays guitar, and he also was like, this is so bad.
About music, I love the Parent Trap opening song.
Yes, it's
the
so
whole
good.
The sequence is so entertaining and catches you off guard.
I know. You know what? I'm going to try to, maybe for our next teaser where we kind of revisit the same topic again, I'll try to find some information on the opening titles. I didn't find any, but they're so cute. It's kind
in
of this
stop motion.
Yeah, it's a stop motion with these little puppets and these little cherubs flying around. It's really adorable.
I will say I did get to see them in person, the stop motion puppets.
you did? Where?
I did. So both of you know, because you've been there, but for those who don't, at Walt Disney Studios, the lot in Burbank, in the Frank G. Wells building, they have the entrance to a portion of the Walt Disney archives. And if you're a guest at the studio during their opening hours, you can walk into a portion of the archives, and they always change out the displays. And one time in one of the glass cases, they had displays of stop motion puppets from the archives. Aww. And I think that there were more, but what I remember seeing was, I believe there was a Frankenweenie one, but there were for sure the Parent Trap opening scene stop motion puppets and the Taylor family from Home Improvement from a Christmas episode where they made them puppets, and those are also in the case.
That's really cool. I love that.
I'm going to need that on season 2 of Prop Culture on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Oh,
Disney's stop motion puppets. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be so cool.
Enjoy all of that.
I love stop motion. So yeah, that would be really cool.
This is just a random thought, but I also always wondered how come the stop motion puppets in the opening scene of the Parent Trap, how come one of the twins has blonde hair and one has red hair? Like, they're not even identical.
I don't know why they did that. I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe they gave whoever did it like creative liberty to just, you know, we'll tell you the story.
I just thought it was interesting because I'm like, how could they switch places? Their hair is completely different. It's a thing in the movie.
Exactly.
They make their hair the same.
It's very odd. I don't know why they made that choice, or if they ended up filming it after the movie was filmed or during or before. It's, I don't know. We'll try to find out some more information about that segment. Yeah. Well, anyway, Let's Get Together, as sung by Hayley and Hayley, actually reached number 8 on the U.S. charts, which I thought was fun because I didn't even know that it had been released as just a regular pop song, but that was really cute.
That's great. It's like nowadays when people are blasting Show Yourself, people back then were blasting Let's Get Together.
Yeah.
Imagine driving to the beach and you're just singing Let's Get Together and it just
came out. Oh, that'd be so cute. Oh, I want to go back in time and do that.
Beach day.
Yeah.
So cute.
Annette Funicello, whom Disney fans know as one of the original Mouseketeers and a big star of beach movies, speaking of the beach, back in the 60s, also recorded a version of the song to be played on a record in one of the camp scenes in the movie. She was also on the Disney lot to film Babes in Toyland at the time, so she and her co-star Tommy Sands recorded the title song as long as they were there. Many fans also commented on the houses that were used in filming, mostly the California location, as both the mom and dad characters in the movie are filthy rich. The dad, Mitch, lived with the twin Susan at the Golden Oak Ranch in the Carmel Valley of California. This was land that was south of Carmel and was actually owned by Disney. So they built a shell of a house on the property with nothing but exterior walls and a roof, and the interiors were all created on a separate soundstage. The studio would occasionally get fans asking for the house plans of that ranch, understandably, because it looks amazing, but they had to tell them that it actually wasn't a real house, so they couldn't really replicate it in real life. Although, I imagine if you had enough money, you might want to try, because it's super cool.
It's always interesting to hear how crazy fans have always been.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I want the Parent Trap house!
Yes. Sure.
I want the exact thing! Give it to me! Over the next few years, Mills made several more films for Disney before leaving the studio in 1965 to pursue different kinds of roles. In 1986, she reprised her Parent Trap roles, this time as adults, in a sequel for the Disney Channel called The Parent Trap 2, which Jess is now going to tell us about.
Yes. All right, you guys. We are ready to dive into these really wacky plot lines.
Yes.
Of Parent Trap 2, 3, and 4. That's right. There's three sequels.
We're going to Hawaii.
We're going to Hawaii. Spoiler alert. Parent Trap 4 is called Parent Trap Hawaiian Honeymoon. So let's start, of course, with Parent Trap 2, which came out in 1986. So 25 years after the first Parent Trap. So quite a gap. So it came out in 1986 as actually one of the first Disney Channel original movies, but it wasn't called that. That was before DCOMs were called DCOMs, Disney Channel Original Movie. It was released under the original Disney Channel movie banner called Disney Channel Premiere Film. And shortly after that, it had its network television premiere on ABC as part of a special slot called the Disney Sunday Movie, which, of course, the CEO, Michael Eisner, did a special intro for. You know, he wanted to replicate what Walt Disney did in terms of introducing their movies and TV shows, but, you know, I don't think that that's a thing where every Disney CEO has to do that. I think that was a thing because it was Walt Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Michael Eisner sure tried for quite a while to kind of do that. And the reason I bring that up is because Michael Eisner filmed a special segment introducing each of these movies, and we'll include the links in the show notes, or I'll share them on Instagram if we don't have space in the show notes. But you could find all of these opening segments with Michael Eisner and, of course, Mickey Mouse on YouTube, and they're all fantastic.
Bless YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
Bless the person who found their VHS with this recorded and then uploaded it to YouTube.
We're so thankful.
We're thankful. So the opening segment before the Parent Trap 2 aired was Michael Eisner and Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse is very short. I know he's short, but he's very short. Maybe he just looks that way because Michael Eisner is really tall, but he just looked kind of off model. And also his voice was before they had one voice actor voice each of the Fab Five. So it was always really inconsistent. So it literally is just like, oh, geez, Michael. Not like the Mickey we know. It's just like,
that's pretty good though, Jess. I thought that was pretty good.
Well, it was worse than that.
That was actually really good. But maybe Mickey Mouse had a bad vocal day, you know?
Yeah. And he was very quiet. But so it's Michael Eisner and Mickey Mouse. And Michael Eisner talks about, like, you know, the amazing split screen effect they used in 1961. And Haley Mills is reprising her role as Susan and Sharon, but now as adults. And he says, in fact, the special effects were so good to this day, Mickey believes Haley Mills has a twin sister. But Mickey, she's no more a twin than I am. But as soon as he says that, another Michael Eisner appears.
Whoa.
and Michael says, no. Mickey's like, oh, Michael, your twin brother. And then Michael says, no, I don't have a twin brother. That's just a little joke from the special effects guy. And then we go into the opening of Parent Trap 2.
Jessica, I didn't know your Mickey Mouse voice was this good.
It's really good, Jess.
I never realized it was until you two told me. This is great.
Voice acting is in your future because that's a real... I'm being genuinely honest. That's a good Mickey Mouse impression.
Thank you. Well, thank you. So The Parent Trap 2 is about Susan and Sharon and their shenanigans 25 years later after the original 1961 Parent Trap. So like I said, quite a jump from the first to the second. So Haley Mills does return to play her roles, which I love that it's the original actress. And the film centers around Sharon and her daughter, Nikki, who lives in Tampa, Florida. Sharon is now divorced and they're going to be moving from Florida to New York City. And her daughter, Nikki, does not want to move to New York City and leave her best friend, Mary, at school. She wants to stay with her best friend. And it just so happens that her best friend, Mary's father, played by Tom Skerritt, is also single. So they come up with a scheme. I think we're going to be trapping some parents. They come up with a scheme to set up their parents with a plan that they want to be stepsisters and stop Nikki from moving to New York. So fast forward a little bit, the shenanigans ensue. Nikki and Mary are trying things like sending flowers to Sharon, but saying that it's from Mary's father, Bill. But the plans just keep not working and they're not getting it and they're confused. And, you know, they're just not falling head over heels for each other instantly like they hoped when they would begin this plan. So since their plans are not working, Nikki and Mary go to the mall food court like you do in 1986. And they decide to call Susan. So Susan is currently married to a pilot and living in California.
Nice.
Wow. Yes. And she has like, actually, when they show the shot of Susan, like getting the phone call from her niece, Susan is actually working out by the pool, which overlooks the ocean in a jazzercise outfit that looks exactly like Barbie's in Toy Story.
You go, Susan.
I forgot about that. Like with the super high cut leg.
Yeah. And it literally is like great shape Barbie. Great shape Barbie is a Barbie from the 80s that inspired Barbie's look in Toy Story 3. So she's dressed exactly like
that. For the Toy Story knowledge.
So just pulled that one out of my back pocket. So they call Susan and they ask her to fly from California to Florida to pretend to be Sharon and date Mary's father, Bill, so that he'll fall in love with her and then she'll like fly back and then he'll like be in love with Sharon. How they thought this plan would work seamlessly, I don't know, but this is definitely a kid's idea of a plan that sounds good. Yes, and you would think that an adult would be like, that is not going to work. But Susan is fully on board and flying to Florida to date this person, even though she's married.
She wanted a fun getaway.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, she needed some time off.
Get away from her beach house.
She had to take a break from her money.
She needed to take a break from one beach to go to another beach.
Exactly. It's what she did.
Nikki really lays it on thick on the phone call to Susan, lays the nostalgia on thick because she said, we need this to be a surprise. You know, like how you and mom surprised grandma and grandpa. So there's kind of a Friends TV show situation. So I'm going to skip all the middle part. You know, it's just shenanigans, confusion, like you do in a parent trap movie. So fast forward to the end, and there's kind of a Friends TV show situation of a they don't know that we know that they know thing that happens.
Oh, yeah.
And Sharon figures out what this scheme has been. She, like, figures out near the end that Susan is pretending to be her and dating Bill and that the kids are doing this because Nikki doesn't want to move. So she figures it out. So she calls Susan's husband and says, help me play a trick back on them. So he flies to Florida and Sharon dresses up in a huge wig and a black dress. And she finds out the restaurant that Susan, masquerading as Sharon, is going to with Bill. And she goes to the restaurant at the same time with Susan's husband and dressing up in this wig and stuff to disguise herself.
Drama.
Yeah. And then Bill and Susan, pretending to be Sharon, is sitting there and she sees her husband and she's like, well, and she stands up and Bill's like, what's wrong? She's like, my husband. He's like, your husband. And then she walks over there being like, why you, like thinking he's cheating on her. And then like the mystery woman stands up and turns around and she's like, Sharon. I remember that part.
Oh, I have to rewatch this movie after we're done.
I do too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I remember that part.
So hopefully that wasn't too confusing. I tried to make it as clear as possible, but it's hard to keep track of a lot of this, you guys.
So many shenanigans.
What? This family just does too much. It
runs for family. They need to calm down.
Yeah, they need to calm down. So
they're too rich. They have nothing else better to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So after Bill realizes what's been going on, him and Sharon decide it's just best for them to be friends. And also he admits I was falling for you, but I don't know if I was was actually falling for you or falling for Susan at pretending to be you. So I can't in good conscience pursue this.
Yeah, because he's a reasonable adult.
Yeah. So they decide it's best to be friends. And then Sharon and Nikki, it comes time for them to about to move to New York. And her boss, though, throws her a going away party, which Bill and Mary are also invited to. And her boss's name is Walter Elias. Like Walter Elias Disney. And the boss's wife is Lillian.
That's cute.
So Bill and Sharon go down into the cabin of the boat. Like Mary and Nikki are like, oh, you head down. Like, we'll be there in a moment. I forget their excuse as to why they didn't go down with them. But they get Bill and Sharon to go down to the cabin of a sailboat where the party is going to be. And Nikki and Mary are standing on the dock and they undo the ropes anchoring the boat to the dock, and they just let it float away. And I was like, it's a sailboat. You have to know how to do a sailboat. Like, you know, you have to know how to sail. And that it's so complicated, the navigating a sailboat, if you've never done it. Hopefully they had that knowledge, because they were just stranded in the middle of the ocean and they didn't know they left the dock. They were just chatting in the cabin.
Big safety hazard.
Yes. I'm just like, okay, I get that these girls like their shenanigans, but that took it too far.
That's like Dennis the Menace.
Yeah, girls. Come on.
Oh my gosh. So as they're floating and they're in the cabin of the boat, they start warming up to each other. And then all of a sudden they're like, where is everyone? And they go up and they realize that they're stranded and that they're in the middle of nowhere. Bill is like, wow, we're really far away. And then he like kisses her. And then and then they're together.
Wow, we're really far away. Let's kiss.
Basically.
There's nothing else to do.
But I do want to say they kiss and then it like cuts to their wedding. Like then it's their wedding.
So it worked out.
Yeah.
So they didn't move to New York and now they're stepsisters. So their plan worked. They got what they wanted. And I did wonder, I did wonder if maybe the scene on the boat with like them kind of falling in love on the boat. I wondered in the 1998 Parent Trap, the boat is such a big part for the parents, like rekindling their romance and falling in love.
Absolutely.
I wondered, like, did they have the boat thing as a nod to Parent Trap 2? Did they kind of try to pull Easter eggs from each Parent Trap movie? So it's just something fun to think about. Yeah. So I mentioned that they maybe included the nod about the boat in the 1998 version. And also they had the characters named Walter Elias and Lillian in the movie. There was also some nods to Hayley Mills' Disney roles, since obviously she's such a huge part of Disney's live action film history. Sharon's daughter's name is Nikki Ferris. And that is the same name as Hayley Mills' character in the 1964 Disney film, The Moonspinners. Mm-hmm. And Nikki's best friend, Mary Grand with a D, is a nod to Mills' character Mary Grant with a T in the 1962 Disney film In Search of the Castaways. So they did lots of Easter eggs in there. And you know, these films were obviously very special to Hayley Mills herself. She mentioned that The Parent Trap in 1961 was her favorite film she did. And she said in an LA Times interview around the time Parent Trap 2 came out, I did hesitate before saying yes. First, because it was always my favorite film and I wasn't sure about making a sequel. Second, because it's taken me so long to break away from my Disney image. It's been a real impediment toward getting the kind of roles I want. But everyone at Disney was so enthusiastic about this project that I finally agreed to do it. And I think it turned out really well. During her break from Disney, since she obviously did take quite a big break, she had been instead acting in theater in more mature roles to break away from her typecast Disney girl image, as well as taking a step back just from film and TV in general to just take time and raise her kids and be with family. But boy, did she dive into it. She said that Parent Trap 2 were the longest hours and the hardest she ever worked in her life. They filmed the whole thing in 18 days. So she had to do the split screen double roles in 18 days. And when the movie debuted, I thought this was really funny, because little did she know 3 years later there was going to be a Parent Trap 3 and 4. But she did an interview. I found this on YouTube. She did this interview on a talk show and they asked her, do you think there will be a Parent Trap 3? And she said, well, isn't that a dreadful thought? I think 2 is quite enough. But plot twist, 3 years later, Parent Trap 3 and Parent Trap Hawaiian Honeymoon were both released 7 months apart in 1989.
Mm. Now, is that the Ken and Barbie Hawaiian Vacation? That's the first thing that came to mind.
It kind of looks like it. I mean, obviously, there's shenanigans and a lot of mishaps, but I guess there were for Ken and Barbie's like Hawaiian getaway. It's a reference to a Toy Story short for those wondering what we're talking about.
Which is one of the best ones, by the way. Okay.
Yeah.
Agreed. So, yeah. Parent Trap 3 in 1989. First, we must begin with the Michael Eisner and Mickey intro for The Parent Trap 3. They decided to use the same joke of Michael having a twin. It aired on The Magical World of Disney on NBC, which was NBC's iteration of The Wonderful World of Disney. Michael Eisner did this segment with Mickey and several other Disney characters. And of course, he included his favorite thing, synergy. He loves promoting the shows and movies in parks and parks and shows and movies. And boy, did he do that. The opening is Michael Eisner with Mickey and Goofy and Donald and Snow White and Dopey and Roger Rabbit. Of course, Roger Rabbit had to be there. It's 1989.
Synergy is just a reunion.
Yeah.
Of everything.
Yes. And I love it, to be clear. I feel like maybe it's not like I was making fun of it. I'm here for it.
No. It's a wonderful thing.
He's in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater at MGM Studios, which is now Disney Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World. He mentions it again, that Mickey Mouse is convinced that Haley Mills has a twin sister because of how good the special effects are. And he says, with the magic of special effects, it's hard to tell what's real or what's not when you're watching in a movie. And speaking of special effects, I'm just about to take the gang on a magical ride on the Great Movie Ride, where we're going to learn about movie history.
That really happened?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he went inside the ride and he's sitting in the front row of the Great Movie Ride with Mickey and Minnie and several other Disney characters behind him. A really clear shot of Roger Rabbit. He found his window, even though he's a few rows back. And then you hear a voice far away, very drolly, say, "Hey, wait for me. It's another Michael Eisner."
Oh, what? Two Michaels again.
They really crammed everything. They crammed every Disney character, two Michael Eisners, a ride. All in a movie.
That sounds like you're about to say a joke. Like, when you get seven Disney characters and two Michael Eisners on the Great Movie Ride. And so the Parent Trap. So twin Michael Eisner sits down next to original Michael Eisner, and original Michael Eisner looks at fake twin Eisner and he's like, special effects. And he does a double take and he goes, yeah, definitely special effects. But he's kind of side-eyeing him, like maybe he's like, maybe I do have a twin. and then the Parent Trap 3 begins. So you guys, Parent Trap 3. What? Has even more wackiness and shenanigans because instead of twins trapping their parents, we have triplets.
What?
They just up the number.
Yeah. Triple the trouble.
Yeah. Except unlike Haley Mills appearing to have a twin because of split screen effects, these actresses who play triplets in the film are real triplets.
They're like, we can't do any more special effects.
Yeah, that's helpful. Yeah.
That would be so hard with triplets. So confusing. And fun fact, one of the triplet actresses, Liana Creel, who plays triplet Lisa, later on in her career, played Tori in Saved by the Bell.
I remember her well.
I wanted to mention that because I found it ironic that, you know, she was kind of just known for Tori and for, you know, being one of the triplets in The Parent Trap 3. And I thought it was ironic she was in Saved by the Bell, since Saved by the Bell was a retooling of the show Good Morning, Miss Bliss, which starred Haley Mills.
Yeah.
So it's all circle.
It's all connected.
Whoa. It's like in the detective shows when they have like the wall of pictures and they're connecting the strings and the dots.
Yes.
Yes.
And we didn't know it before, but I feel like in this episode, we're all really beginning to realize that really the world we're living in is the Parent Trap cinematic universe. And we didn't even know we were in it.
Everything
is connected. So anyway, let's dive into the plot, shall we? So as we learn from Parent Trap 2, Susan is married and in California. Well, now she's divorced and she is an interior designer.
Oh, no.
That will play a part later. Yeah, so she's going to be... No, this is Susan.
Oh, Susan. Okay.
Susan, yes.
So Karen, I was like, no.
You're like, twice? Two movies in a row? That was the plot point? So yes, this is now centered on Susan. The first one was centered more on Sharon. This one is centered on Susan, who is an interior designer, and that will play a part into the plot later. There's a man named Jeffrey, played by Barry Bostwick, who is a widowed father of triplets Lisa, Jesse, and Megan. He picks up his daughters from the airport who are gone for the summer, and he surprises them by saying he got engaged to Cassie McGuire, played by Patricia Richardson, who is Jill Taylor on Home Improvement. Again, being full circle, because I saw those stop motion puppets from Home Improvement the same I saw the Parent Trap puppets.
Whoa.
As Mufasa said, we are all connected in the great circle of the Parent Trap.
Oh, that famous quote.
And I just thought it was funny because Patricia Richardson, I just know her as Jill Taylor, the mom on Home Improvement. So it's kind of funny to see her in this sassy Meredith Blake type role. So that was interesting. So Cassie, again, that's Patricia Richardson's character's name. Cassie, who is engaged to Jeffrey, Barry Bostwick, she wants to redecorate the California beach house. And who do they hire to do the redesign? Susan!
Oh,
you know, I can't go through the whole plot because there's so much confusion with the triplets, but throughout the movie, there's
lots of shenanigans.
There's so many triplet shenanigans. There's a lot of triplets pretending to be one another to help have the boyfriend they want or help get out of dates they don't want to go on or help break up with boyfriends. Lots of mistaken identities, lots of chaos ensuing to sum all of that up in a concise way. So Susan, being an expert in the lookalike shenanigans game, was kind of helping them play along with them switching places throughout. Like, she just, you know, she'd go along with it. She wasn't like, you guys shouldn't be doing this. She was like, yeah, sure, I'm here for this. So they thought, you know, the triplets thought she was cool, and they were like, we would like it better if she was with our dad instead of Cassie. So they call Sharon to help with the plan to get Susan and their dad together.
And why can't these people just fall in love like normal people? Why do there have to be shenanigans?
They just stay out of each other's business?
This
family just does too much.
It's a family affair. Long story short, spoiler, they end up together. And
big surprise.
Yeah. And again, as I mentioned that maybe in the 1998 Parent Trap, they had the boat scene as a nod to Parent Trap 2. I kind of thought that maybe the 1998 Parent Trap pulled from Parent Trap 3, and that, you know, the 1998 Parent Trap, Meredith Blake wants to hire Elizabeth James to be her wedding dress designer, but then the dad ends up with her. And this is kind of the same thing, where like Cassie wants a fancy beach house and they hire the interior designer she wanted and he ends up with her. So maybe not. Maybe I'm thinking too much into it.
No, because I thought the same thing.
And as I mentioned, Parent Trap 2 was filmed in 18 days. Parent Trap 3 was filmed in 1 month with many 13-hour-long days. And to film it, the triplets Leanna Joy and Monica Creel took their spring semester off of Cal State Fullerton. That's where my husband went to school to film, because they said it was too impossible. They couldn't do college and film this movie. So they took off their spring semester and then had a big watch party with their friends at their in their house in Fullerton.
That's cute.
They mentioned in an LA Times article that they obviously had problems with a lot of people only seeing them as one person instead of as three individuals. And they said that on this movie set, they felt that their individualities, even though they were obviously playing triplets pretending to be one another, that felt on set the whole cast and crew really respected their individualities and really treated them as such. And they also each auditioned to be cast as the sister they were the best fit for. They made each of them audition for each sister. So they weren't just like, you know, you do that. You know, they really were trying to gauge their skills and their personalities. So they mentioned that that was something that they really appreciated about this process. And they also noted that most people can't tell them apart for a very long time, but Hayley Mills instantly could tell all three of them apart. So that was something that cool. Stuck with them.
Yeah.
From being a twin so long, she could do it. It was part of her powers. She had some telepathic twin powers.
Yeah. Honorary twin powers. And the final sequel was The Parent Trap 4, which is called Parent Trap Hawaiian Honeymoon, which came out only 7 months later. And the Michael Eisner opening for this one, this time he has no twin. He decided to break that. I wish I was about to say he had triplets, because that would have been really funny.
That would have been
gold.
Missed opportunity, but Michael.
But don't worry, because this opening does include synergy with the parks. So Mickey, Donald, Minnie, and Goofy walk into Michael Eisner's office dressed in tropical outfits and Lays, and Goofy's holding a surfboard, and Mickey says, "Okay, we're all ready to go to Hawaii." And then, and then Michael says, "Oh, you must be mistaken. We aren't going to Hawaii. I invited you over here to watch Parent Trap Hawaiian Honeymoon with me. But I tell you what, we could go over to Walt Disney World's Typhoon Lagoon. It's just like Hawaii."
The plug. All
little
the plug.
Plug. Yeah.
Yeah. And he says it so dismissively like that. "Well, you go to Typhoon Lagoon. It's just like Hawaii." And then Mickey's like, "Oh, well, we just came from..." Oh, hang on. Sorry. Let me do my Mickey voice. Mickey said... Mickey says, "Well, gee, we just came back from Typhoon Lagoon." And then Michael says, "Let me get Lucille on the phone." And we're all like, "Who's Lucille?" Apparently it's his assistant. And he's like, get me my travel agent. Tell her I want 4 tickets to Hawaii. He says he wants 4 tickets to Hawaii. I'm sorry, but Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, and Donald and him are there. So either it's just for them and he's not going, or he's like not including someone. But anyway, so he says, "Let's get 4 tickets for Hawaii." And then Mickey has him hang up the phone, and Mickey says, "Oh, gee, you don't have to do that. We'll just watch Hawaiian Honeymoon here and pretend we're in Hawaii."
Oh, yay.
Yeah. Fun.
What a great substitute.
And then how the segment ends is my favorite. Michael says, "Are you sure?" And they're like, "Yeah." And Michael's like, he looks straight at the camera and goes, "Then why do I feel so guilty? Wow." And then it cuts to the opening of the movie.
See, that kind of does play into the Toy Story Hawaiian Vacation, because he can't actually go to Hawaii, so they pretend with,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's all about pretending to be in Hawaii when you can't go to Hawaii.
Yeah. Many of us have to pretend to go to Hawaii when we can't go to Hawaii.
I'm also like, this is a terrible way to hype us up for this movie, because right before the movie opens, you say, "Why do I feel so guilty?"
I know, it's real downbeat, isn't it?
We get really in the Hawaiian mood, because the opening has the title and it's just a long pan over like a townhouse community. I'm like, oh, why is this the opening?
Right. Yeah, cool. Beautiful townhouse community.
So, yeah. So the movie is about Susan and Jeffrey's honeymoon in Hawaii. They get married at the beginning of this film, and Jeffrey, Barry Bostwick's character, as a reminder, finds out his late aunt Sylvia inherited a resort in Hawaii. So they decided, hey, that's going to be perfect for us to go there for our honeymoon. And the triplets all beg to tag along because they've all always heard so much about this resort growing up. And obviously he's reluctant because it's their honeymoon, but you know, they get their way because they're the wacky triplets. And, you know, to give a sneak peek of the wackiness that ensues, the poster for this movie reads, "The Magical World of Disney presents Parent Trap Hawaiian Honeymoon. There's panic in paradise as a honeymoon goes haywire and those mischief-making triplets inherit a hotel. Fall in love. Go to jail."
Yay.
Family.
And that was a lot of copy on that poster. I had to really zoom in to read it all because I was like, there's so much verbiage on this poster. So the mischief making that happens in the movie has to do with a lot with the triplets impersonating one another in an attempt to save the hotel from being sold to a developer. That's it in a very tiny nutshell. And those are the sequels. There isn't a ton of information on the making of them, but boy, did uncovering some of these old interviews with Hayley Mills on YouTube and the old Michael Eisner intros on TV made this topic super fun. Also, yeah. I heard that when the Parent Trap 2 came out, there's a special that aired after it called On Location Parent Trap 2 that was about the making of the film. And I wanted so badly to find that. It was about the making of, obviously, and it showed them on location. And it was also a little snippet about Hayley Mills' film history with Disney. I couldn't find it anywhere. So if anyone knows where to find it, I would love to know. So
yeah, let Jessica know.
Yeah, I want to know. So because now I'm very invested in all of this. And that is Parent Trap 2, 3, and 4.
Yay.
We learned a lot. This is amazing.
We went on a journey.
And I can't wait to go on the journey you're about to take us on, Pernell.
Oh, right. Are you guys ready?
Yes. Yes!
So Parent Trap, like I said, it means so much to me, and it's one of my favorite movies. And I think I saw the 1998 one before I saw the original. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was born in 95, so just put that in.
Oh, you were little. Yeah,
I was a tiny one. And my cousins had it on VHS, and I watched it and then I just kept watching it and watching it and watching it. And so then after I told my cousin, I was like, can I have this movie? I took the movie from my cousin. That's how much I enjoyed it. I just couldn't stop watching it. And then I found out about the original Parent Trap from The Wonderful World of Disney. And that's where I watched it for the first time. And so it was nice seeing the two. And I fell in love with both. And little did I know there were sequels in between. I didn't find that out until years later. Yeah. And so now it's nice to hear about, you know, all the details about that. So the 1988 Parent Trap follows the same formulas as the other ones where two kids try to get the parents together. But when two preteens named Hallie and Annie meet through their summer camp, their two lives are rattled when they realize they are identical twins. With parents, British mother, and famous dress designer Elizabeth, and American father Nick, a winemaker, they live two different sides of the universe, but the girls decide to make an identity swap in hopes of spending time with their own parent. The girls later choose to wear their guardians of the swap while at a hotel in San Francisco, which late reunites the divorced pair and sends them back into remarriage with each other. So it follows the same, you know, flow that we've gotten so far. Yeah. So did you guys see the new Parent Trap in theaters, or did you see it on video first?
I did see it in theaters. I had seen the original one first many times at home. It was a movie my family loved, but I did see the 1998 one in theaters.
Well, I am much older than you, Pernell. So I was actually in college when it came out. So I actually missed it in theaters because I was so grown up in college and I wasn't seeing Disney movies in theaters. But
yeah.
When I later was like, oh, it's fine to love Disney. It doesn't mean I'm immature. I did watch it on video. I really liked it. I thought it was super fun.
It's just so iconic. And I think the nature of these Parent Trap movies are the cameos. And this one just encapsulates so many cameos. And Jessica, you brought more to my attention that I didn't even know existed. They're all connected. And it's kind of funny how, you know, with each Parent Trap, there'll be a different setup. But they give you a little bit of nostalgia along with some new adventures, with whether it be triplets or time differences. And with this one, you have them really separated. I feel like the sisters are on opposite sides of the world, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's so fascinating. So I have some tidbits here for us.
I can't wait.
Yay.
They're so amazing. Well, first off, so the role of the twins was given to Lindsay Lohan, and this was her really big introducing role for a lot of audiences. And it seems like whenever they cast the Parent Trap main kid, they always became a star. Mm-hmm. They always sort of got their career really launched off, because the same way you mentioned about the original Parent Trap and how Hayley Mills was this amazing actress and everyone was astounded by her, the same with Lindsay Lohan, because mm-hmm. it seemed like the whole cast was, they fell in love with her. And from a lot of behind the scenes footage I watched, they were always smiling whenever Lindsay was around. And so mm-hmm. she really provided this bright burst of joy on set. And I think that really encouraged the adults to play along. It seemed like there was lots of playing. And the director, Nancy Meyer, she also wrote the screenplay for Father of the Bride. She's done countless other movies.
Yeah.
But
Nancy Meyers. Yeah.
She's so brilliant. She's just a wonderful director who's able to have fun on set, but get work done and come out with some fabulous projects. But the role of Hallie and Annie was first Scarlett Johansson was in the run, and Michelle Trachtenberg.
Oh, I did not know that.
Wow. Really, yeah.
So just think of Scarlett Johansson playing.
I cannot. That would be a more downbeat portrayal, I think.
Yeah, Michelle Trachtenberg was really another it girl of the time. And
yes, I remember.
It's fascinating. But they take the Parent Trap in a very hip approach mm-hmm. with bunches of nostalgia. And like I said, cameos thrown in. So you have Hallie and Annie start off. Well, actually, no, the movie takes an interesting turn, because I've noticed in a lot of Disney movies, especially the classics, they really take the time with opening the story and really getting us into the setting. So just like you have the puppets in the original, you have this whole beautiful montage of their wedding between Nick Parker and Elizabeth James. Mm-hmm. You have them and this beautiful montage of their wedding, and Nick is sweeping Elizabeth off her feet, and they're having wine together. And it really sets this romantic tone for the rest of the movie, because the movie is extremely romantic. I think it might be the most romantic out of all of them, because I feel
I agree. The rest of them are more shenanigans. That was something actually when Garrett and I, because two nights ago we watched 1998, yesterday we watched the 1961 one, and we were saying that we feel the 1998 one by showing like how in love they were by us seeing that past. I feel like you said, it did set a romantic tone. And also I feel like that's what made us feel like Hallie and Annie's side of it, of being like, oh, I just, wouldn't you love to have like that guy be your dad? And wouldn't you love to have this woman be your mom? Like, you could feel why they were craving that relationship with them so much. Absolutely. Because they just seemed so perfect. So I thought that added a lot. Yeah,
they did. And it's nice to set the parents up, because then you, like you say, you really see why they're fighting so hard, just because you see the swelling romance of them both. So then we cut to camp, and it is just chaos in that opening scene of camp, because there's tons of girls and they're all like teenagers. And there's a funny scene. It really takes you to the time period, because you have these girls and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm not getting any cell phone reception. Like, what am I going to do? And so even girls in the 90s were having the same issues now. You know, kids in general, just, you know, they need their technology, and it's like a little time capsule, which is really clever. And there's little side stories and subplots within the camp that are hilarious to look at, because Lindsay Lohan's little brother has a whole side plot in the camp about this boy being sent to a girls' camp.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, so that was Lindsay's little brother. And because by the time you end the whole camp part of the movie, you see all the girls, and he's like, I'll be back next year. Like, I love you guys. Because he starts off hating it, but then, because that can be its own movie, you know?
I did not know that was Lindsay Lohan's brother. That reminds me of, like, I wonder if they had, like, a similar sort of deal, like, in Home Alone.
Home Alone, yes.
Where Macaulay Culkin's younger brother, I know he's...
Karen Culkin.
Yes, I was like, why can't I think of his name? Plays Fuller, and it was, like, a thing of, like, well, you need to also include him in the movie, so that's funny. Yeah.
It's cute, and it gets the family together, and I think, especially with a Disney movie, when you're talking about family, it keeps the family on set together.
Yeah, for
sure. And it keeps them all just working busy. And some busy, and no one feels left out. And I think that's really sweet of them to include, because it gave them a whole side plot that you return back to. So you really get to see Hallie Parker and Annie James. So Hallie Parker is from California with Nick Parker, who's played by Dennis Quaid. I don't know what is up with Disney and these very attractive dads, but the dad and the moms, the parents are just attractive through the whole parent trap.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this how we look when we're older? Like, when we become parents?
Most of us don't.
I mean, I'm sure having boatloads of money and butlers help. Well, you know,
you're not worried about anything. You don't have any stress lines.
Yeah.
Dennis Quaid is like a winemaker. He's a what's the official term?
I don't know.
For a winemaker,
I'm sure there is, but I don't know.
The only term I know is sommelier, but that's not what that is. That's at a restaurant.
Okay, well, he owns a vineyard in Napa, and Elizabeth James is a fashion designer, like we mentioned. You know how the other was it Susan that became an interior designer?
Susan was an interior designer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Elizabeth James is working in London, and they ended up setting her up in the most fashionable part of London. In the behind the scenes, they mentioned how they made sure she was living in the fashion district, and they gave her
all these.
They were both rich and they were both successful. So it's funny to see how they separate and they both become
and they
so
thrived.
Successful.
Yeah.
Right. But okay, I don't know if this is touched upon, but what kind of mental implications happen when these kids realize that their parents separate them?
Yeah.
And it's, just take one. Like, what kind of psycho
you two are interchangeable. I'll take one, you take the other one.
That's fine. That's something I've thought a lot about, in that, okay, like, I love the movies and we get that it's like fantasy. This presumably wouldn't actually happen, so we can enjoy it with the whole fantasy of it. Mm-hmm. But I did think, like, you know, if this was real, this is just enforcing the idea that twins are one person and interchangeable, because to them, it wasn't like, oh, I'm losing one of my kids. They were just like, well, you get one, I get one. It's like the same.
And they kept them from each other.
Yeah, that's really bad parenting right there.
Well, this is going to turn to a dark place if I keep going on about this, but it's just shocking to think like a parent is just fine without knowing one of their kids their whole life because they didn't get along well. Also, yeah. You know, there are people who will, you know, if they have the money, they'll have like someone switch off kids with parents who don't mm-hmm. want to interact with one another. I'm like, they had butlers. They could have easily done a switch off without seeing each other. But
they could have had shared custody, you know?
Well, like I said, we could go on and on about this, and this is going to go to a dark place. Yeah. So I'll let you proceed, Pranell.
Oh, okay. But So Natasha Richardson plays the mom, and Natasha just glows. That woman, like you said, you want them to be your parents because they're the most fun. And this is a hit movie, so they're very hit parents. They're very young and youthful, and they're with the times, but they're still parents. And so Hallie and Annie meet at camp, and they both have their own personas because Annie comes from a more posh, pristine. She arrives to camp in a limo while, you know, Hallie, like, gets off the bus with the rest of the girls, and she has her whole duffel bag situation, and she befriends the other girls who are kind of more like rough and tough, while as Annie, she gets out of the limo with her nice shoes, and she has her briefcase and her butler, and she's like just, you know, getting brushed and pampered as she's exiting. But you really see her bond with her butler Martin, and you see them have their down to earth, like, yes, they're rich, but they still have so much heart, because I think they didn't want to portray her as like snooty, because she wasn't snooty at all. She was just born into
posh.
Money.
Yeah,
she was like more reserved and
Mm-hmm. But she was still ready to have a camp experience. Like she has a big smile on her face. She's not like ill nature. She's excited to travel across the world. And then we have that iconic handshake. Who tried to learn that handshake?
I think I did at one point. I really should try to learn it. So by the time this episode airs, maybe I'll know it.
Oh my god! If you and Amelia learn it,
that would be fun. So cute.
That would be
mother
super
daughter
fun.
Bonding. So yeah, so you see their two personalities and how they meet, and the camps really starts to pick up. And as this is starting, the music is incredible. The soundtrack is fire. I don't know how recently you've listened to it.
Yes. It needs to be on vinyl.
It really does. It has The Laws. It has like The Love and Spoonful. It has so many different remakes and covers of songs. And and the score follows these themes from the camp to journeying from London to California and then to San Francisco. So many different themes are in the music, and it follows all the characters, and it's just brilliant. So when they meet each other with a fencing match. And so you kind of see how they're both so skilled and they don't even know each other because their faces are covered. And so they're fencing in the camp, and the camp is very expensive, by the way. This camp is rich. They have fencing courses. They have over hundreds of girls there. And they have money
for an isolation cabin.
And a whole cabin, which seemed to be so much farther, but we'll get into that point. So they meet each other by Annie, you know, winning at the fencing, and they take off their masks and they have to, you know, shake hands. They do the big dramatic turnaround where they zoom in. I love the reveal because it's so good. What they're feeling in the moment, and they immediately start hating each other, just like in the original.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this girl thinks she's me. I'm the only me. And so
it's so weird. Like, who would have that reaction?
I would be like, who are you? I need to be your friend. But we needed that tension. And so you go from the pranking to, they have one where they make Lindsay Lohan do a skinny dip. Now, obviously, she wasn't actually skinny dipping, but they play a deck of cards, and they have this huge sequence of playing cards to bad to the bone, and they're like betting their lipsticks and their stickers, and it's like a camp mafia moment. And so Hallie ends up winning that round, and Annie has to skinny dip, and then they steal all of her clothes and run away.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And so, and then I remember Lindsay Lohan standing there. She was like, well, if that's how we're going to play, then let the games begin. And so, and so it cuts to them like putting all their furniture on top of their cabin. I'm like,
they're
how
so
are
strong.
I know.
I couldn't even do that.
Oh, sorry. I think they're 10 or 11.
Well, I could be thinking of I'm thinking of the 1961, but it's like, I'm going to be 13 October 11th. But I don't know if that's the new one. That's for sure.
I think they were 11. I think they were turning 12.
Yeah, they're younger in the
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So then the big prank, I call this like the icon prank, is when Hallie and her friends rig up Annie and her friend's cabin, because they get their little posses, and I like their little posses at the end of the farming in their camps, and it's like little camp rivalries. And so they set up like chocolate up on the ceiling, they set up feathers and water balloons. I'm like, they slept through all of this?
I know. They were tired from putting the beds up on the roof.
I guess so. Yeah. So their energy was burnt out. So the next morning happens, and you know, it all just goes to poof, poof, poof. Things start getting launched off and they're screaming. And then Hallie and her friends are like cheering and being all sassy. And then the camp counselors come, they see the wreckage. They both get put in the isolation cabin. And that's when they really start to bond. One thing I've noticed, however, when they play, you guys remember the ear piercing scene?
Yes.
So when they bond, they realize that they're twins, and this is kind of cruel too. They both have a half of a picture of their other parent. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, did the parents purposefully rip a picture? They're like, okay, your child will have this one, mine will have this one.
It seems like that is exactly what happened.
I have a conspiracy theory that the parents wanted this to happen. Like, they were just testing their kids and seeing if they can make some masterminds. Yeah. And it just seems the way it's set up, I'm like, you gave each one a portion of a picture and be like, okay, this is what, you know, your mom or dad looks like.
It was one long con.
Yeah.
So they have their bonding and they talk about how they love eating Oreos and peanut butter and how Annie doesn't know who Leonardo DiCaprio is just because they come from different sides.
I always thought that was weird that Annie doesn't know who Leonardo DiCaprio is. And I'm like, okay, they aired Titanic in London. Like, you would know
they,
who
they have had to.
She would know who Leo was.
Titanic was a hit worldwide. It was like the biggest movie for like 2 years. Everyone talked about it. She would have known anyway.
And he was such a heartthrob at the time. But they bond and they put the pictures together. And another little, sorry, I have so many little tidbits about this movie.
I love it. I could talk about it all day.
I love how they gave Hallie and Annie their own personalities with how they ate. I think food was a big thing in their personalities, because you see Hallie always having food or talking about food, and Annie is more like reserved, and she is hardly ever talking about food. And that's their big thing, because, you know, Hallie can't really accept the fact that they're twins at first. And Annie's like, okay, it's very obvious. You've never met your parent. I've never met my other parent. And we look identical. And then Hallie's like, oh, can we just go get like a snack or something?
Actually, that happens in the original too, when they're in the cabin.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, Susan's like, oh, I'm so hungry. You want to go get some food? And Sharon's like, don't you see what's happening? Yes.
I will say that Susan in the original, she's eating popsicle, and Hallie says, she's like, do you want to go get a popsicle or something? But I will say that they did play up the different eating habits in the new one more, because it was like throughout, not just like that one part.
Translates. But I love the cameos and the nostalgia back to the original. So many callbacks. And so they come up with a plan. They teach each other their ways of their families, and Annie teaches Hallie the handshake, and they're like, all right, we're going to get our parents back together. They do the whole shebang that we talked about. You know, I don't want to go too deep because we already know what happens. And so they switch, and they're really put to the test of Annie has to be an American and Hallie has to have a British accent. And they even have to pierce her ears. They have to pierce Annie's ears. And I've noticed they always omit that on TV.
Oh.
When it's on TV, they take that whole scene out.
Because they don't want kids being like, okay, I'm going to go pierce my sister's ears now.
Because all they do is like a needle. They light the needle on fire.
Was it a needle or like a rusty nail? Was it like a nail?
A rusty nail.
I think it was just
a sewing needle. Why do I remember it as a nail? Maybe it was me being haunted from my childhood, because I still can't watch that scene because it's like makes me cringe.
They numb her ear with some ice, and then they put an apple under it, so the, you know, when the needle goes through, they have like a nice point.
Yeah.
And start screaming, and so they end up being put in their other houses. And so Annie goes to California, and that's who you see. Wait, no, I think you see Annie first. You see Annie's journey first because you're going to London. And
there she goes.
One of the best things ever.
There she goes again.
And yeah. For one, that song is iconic. And
it's a great song.
You just have Lindsay Lohan traveling through London and seeing all the sights, and she's really getting to find a new home. And when she gets, you know, she meets her grandfather, and her mom is like, "You've cut your hair," because Annie has long hair, you know, like how Sharon and Susan had to do the whole hair cutting. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's got pierced ears, but she's such a hip mom, Natasha Richardson, so she's cool with it.
She's cool.
I feel like any other mom would be like, "What have you done? Like, who pierced your ears? Was it?"
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, cool. If I found out that a random kid pierced my kid's ears at camp, I'd be like, we better make sure it's not going to get infected. Like,
yeah,
yikes.
I would be concerned. I'd be like, was this a sterile environment?
Absolutely. So you see Annie going to this like posh environment. They have a butler who's also hip and cool. Everyone's cool in the Parent Trap movies. Everyone's cool. And then you switch to California, and it's so Californian, but not Hollywood. It's very more vineyard and big natural landscapes. There's lots of green, and you know,
it's what the Grand Californian Hotel wants us to feel.
Yeah,
that Napa vibe. Yeah.
And great dad Dennis Quaid rolls up like the stud he is with his cowboy hat, and he's like driving in a car, and he looks so smooth. And you see the two girls bond with their parent. And I'm like, they were missing out on these precious moments with their other parent. And Dennis Quaid has his vineyard with his butler, who is Chessie, who's such a cool hip butler. And she, I guess she's not really a butler, she's like a family friend.
Yeah, she makes a joke where Martin's like, "I'm the butler," and she's like,
I'm their butler. I also wondered if she was like a sister at one point, because they just have such a healthy platonic relationship with each other.
Yeah,
and it's healthy to see that on screen between like a man and a woman. Like, you know, it's nice to see that can happen, because I don't see that often.
And, no, not at all.
And, you know, Chessie brings up the whole, like, yeah, your dad's been seeing someone that's probably just in for the money. You see Meredith Blake, and she's the woman you want to hate, but you can't help but stan at the same time.
Yes. She's an amazing Disney villain.
She is. Elaine Hendricks plays Meredith Blake, who is, you know, the stepmom of the plot. And she is only 26, and she pulls Dennis Quaid. Keep that in mind.
I forgot. Yeah.
Her age is 26. And, you know, Lindsay Lohan as Hallie is just grilling her. You know, she's in the pool. And so there's that tension. Like, Hallie's in the pool, and like, you know, my dad, like, he has this thing. He'll take all these girls out on these, like, horse rides. I bet you rode my horse, didn't you? And she was like, actually, yeah, I did. And
that's in the original, too.
I love it. I love when there's things that are the same in the movie.
They want, like, I think Nancy really wanted to honor Parent Trap and the essence of Parent Trap. And then behind the scenes, you can see her just have so much fun because she was a fan. She says it was on her TV screen with her family all the time. Mm-hmm. And she just kept watching it over and over again. And so they devise a plan to switch them, and they go to San Francisco, and they meet a hotel, and, you know, the parents end up falling in love again. And after the San Francisco trip, they go on a camping trip, and they just bully Meredith Blake to the highest extent. They push her out into the lake, and, you know, she gets out, and she's like, "You need to choose, is it me or them?" And then Dennis Quaid is like, "Them." And the twins are like, "Bye."
Yes.
They gave her a run for her money, though. They put a lizard on her water bottle. They put sugar water in her insect repellent so she gets eaten up more.
That would be bad, yeah.
They put rocks in her bag to weigh her down. Like, they wanted to kill this woman on this hike.
Oh my gosh.
I know, yeah, that's also like so much from the original, that disastrous camping trip.
I love how, like, because the lizard is on her water bottle in the original, but they had to take it that step further with the lizard going in her mouth in the new one.
Yeah. I read that they used both like a CGI lizard and a puppet lizard, and they just had all sorts of things just to get Elaine into the feeling of having this creature with her. And so, yeah, the, you know, Natasha and Dennis, I've been calling them by their real names because that's just who I see them as. I call them Nat and Den. You know, Nat and Den fall in love again, and the music swells, and they have their big romantic, like, he like pulls her, and Nancy in the behind the scenes, she's like, I think we have the best movie kiss you've seen in a long time. And I think that's a good testament because they kiss and then they break apart and they smile and they go back to kiss again. Aww, and it's just so cute. It's like they reconnected, and Annie and Hallie are cheering on in the background. So that's like the whole plot. And, you know, they take it from a more modern standpoint. So there's more modern themes of, you know, instead of a telegram, it's a fax that Annie gets from London of them communicating with each other. And now for some more little tidbits. So they filmed Annie scenes first and Hallie scenes vice versa. They had to film them twice. So you have the doubles in, they filmed one side and then they had to film the other. But they did that with mostly stationary shots to do the split screen like you would. And it's clean because, you know, technology was more advanced in the 90s. They didn't really need the borders anymore to like line things up. They could just, you know, have a setting, make it so you can see two. And Lindsay had multiple doubles. I think she had one main one, but I heard that she had multiple as well. And she also wore an earpiece to hear dialogue from the other scenes she had done.
Oh, interesting.
So that was to keep her, you know, because I'm sure they had her hair covering for certain parts and they probably put something in so she can react to what she said. So that's it's probably
that makes
why
so the, much sense. That would be so hard natural. If you're interacting, like, it definitely make it more natural. That's so cool.
It's so cool. And Hallie and Annie are actually named after Nancy Meyer's kids.
Oh how cute, I like that. Answers that question, because we were wondering, like, why did they change the names?
And so it's even better because both their kids are in the movie.
Really? Where?
So their youngest kid is in the beginning camp scene. She's one of the, she has all this stuff on this pack and she's like, can you point me to like where this is and blah, blah, blah. And the other kid is at the pool scene towards the end when they're in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And she's one of, she's the one that offers Dennis Quaid a towel or like a first aid kit, I believe. And so like their kids have little cameos and it's wonderful. Sweet. So Kat Graham from Vampire Diaries also makes a cameo in The Parent Trap as one of Lindsay Lohan's friends from the camp. And apparently she had speaking lines, but they ended up getting rid of her speaking lines. Who knows? Probably just to make more time for the story. Yeah. And it's funny because Lisa Ann Walter, who plays Chessie, thought her name was Jessie at first. I think she thought it was a typo because you don't really hear the name Chessie.
Yeah, you don't.
It's cute because it just adds a little more to her character because she's just unique. And I love Chessie. She's like the best cook, it seems like, and the best person to like just chill with. And it's nice when she makes Hallie, or I guess she thought it was Hallie, she makes her breakfast and she's like, aren't you hungry? And she's like, no, I'll just have like a, she has like a bite of toast, which always annoys me in movies when characters have a big meal in front of them. They take one bite and they're like, okay, bye.
That's like classic Disney Channel show.
Then like when you go see you go see Hallie, it's so confusing, the both when they're switching and being each other. Obviously she does have an appetite, so she's eating up the London house. But the scene where Annie reveals herself to Chessie took over 70 tries because Lisa Ann Walter wanted to get it just right, and they just wanted to nail that emotional beat, and so they just kept going over and over again until they got that emotion of like,
it was perfect.
I saw you when you were a baby. And I like the fact that their butlers have nice roles as well.
Yes,
and they grew up with the kids and they knew the families and they're all just one big happy family. But you know, the scariest thing is that Lisa and Walter ended up having twins.
What?
That's cool.
She ended up having twins born on October 11th, just like Hallie and Annie. What are the odds?
That's weird.
Wild. Oh my God.
We are living in the Parent Trap cinematic universe.
Confirmed yet again.
It's all Parent Trap.
And it was only three years after the movie.
That is so amazing.
It was only three. Yeah, it was only three years after. So, no little tidbits. When they were doing the whole camp scene, whenever they're sabotaging, they actually put a little needle in Lindsay Lohan's hair. So when the balloon, the big water balloon falls, it like gives a nice impact of just, so she wouldn't get hit. Because, you know, water balloons can be heavy sometimes.
Or they might like fall to the side.
So I think they like just added like a little pin. They probably like puffed her hair up a little bit because she had it in a braided ponytail. And so when the balloon falls, she's like kind of covered. So I think to brace any impact, so it's not just landing all on her neck, you know?
Yeah.
Like they had a little needle attached, and so it landed and popped. Gave it a nice.
All the little things they have to think of.
Their work in with these movies because they know the fans like the details. I think they've really honed that in. There were some things that they took out of the 1998 one, which I'm glad they did, which they had a whole deleted scene of Hallie visiting Buckingham Palace. And so she's in the car with Martin, the butler in London. And she's like, oh, I really want to like see the queen. Like, and Martin's like, you've seen like Buckingham Palace so many times. Like, you really want to go again? Cause she's rich, you know? And I guess they get invited. And she was like, well, you know, it's been a while. And so right when she, and then you can find the deleted scene on YouTube as well. When she hops out of the car, she goes up to one of the guards and she's like, hi, I'm Hallie from California. She like breaks her cover right then and there. And she's like, hi, I want to meet the queen, but I know I can't meet the queen right now. And she's just like rambling and the guard is just like still. And out of nowhere, you hear trumpets and the queen shows up. The queen makes a cameo in Parent Trap and she's like, well, hi,
dear. The real queen?
No, they have someone playing.
I was like, no, not the real queen, right? Okay.
Yeah, and they have her show up and she's like, hello, dear, how are you? And for some reason, Hallie switches back to her Annie voice. She's like, oh, hello, I'm Annie James and I'm here in London. And she meets the queen, but it's the whole sequence feels nothing like the movie.
Yeah, that and feels very displaced.
I think they just wanted that little cameo for some reason.
They really wanted to London it up.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, and so it's nice. I'm gonna go into a little bit of the story aspect. I just like the journey that it takes Parent Trap because you start off with the flashbacks of the wedding, and then you go into the camp, and from the camp you switch to the different locations. You have the meetup at San Francisco. You go to the campsite, and then you really have their whole resolution towards the end. And it's a lot of places, but it all feels so smooth in the way the story flows and the writing. And I think that really, again, goes to Nancy and how she really wanted to honor Parent Trap and really bring everything full circle. Because I doubt we'll get any more Parent Traps. I think we're kind of like set in Parent Trap.
We probably are, yeah.
If anything, there would be like a Disney Plus show or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Apparently, we're all living the Parent Trap, so I think we're good on the movies.
But I'm so happy with how Parent Trap has grown and how the fans have really been a part of keeping it alive. Because, I mean, we're talking about it now, and they wanted to have all these details. And they even had Joanna Barnes from the original in the newer one. And that's insane, the fact that they got her to come and play Vicky, who's Meredith Blake's mother, the evil grandma. And she meets one of the twins at the hotel, and they're like shaking hands, and you can tell the tension. She's like, you can call me Aunt Vicky. And you're like, I can't trust you.
I just want to say, because I was like, I want to say it at some point. That line has always been one of my favorite lines, because it's just one of those lines that make me laugh when she leans over. And again, this is the actress who played Vicky, the evil fiance in the original movie, now playing Meredith Blake's mom. She goes, you may call me Aunt Vicky. And I always made me laugh how she said it.
Your voice actor.
That's just a great delivery.
Career.
I'll live my voice acting career vicariously through this podcast. But I just had to say that line because I love that line so much. And I rewind it at least like twice every time I watch it just to listen to it again.
She was engulfed in that role. And she was so excited to come back because in the behind the scenes, she talks about how she thought it was the best idea ever for her to come back and be this role that's kind of the same, but just like just older. And
it's like, we know where Meredith Blake learned her tricks.
Exactly. And it's nice having everyone be so open to, you know, rekindling the fire of the love of Parent Trap so much that they put the little Let's Get Together song when Lindsay Lohan's walking to the elevator and she's like, let's get together. Yeah. Aww. Why don't you and I combine? And I was like, I didn't even realize as a kid that that was a reference until I had watched the original after.
Yeah. Cute.
And yeah, so yeah, Parent Trap is an amazing film and I'm so happy we were able to discuss it. That's all I have about my 1998 version.
Thank you. And I just love, I mean, it's very rare that an original and a remake of a movie can both be so timeless, so loved, and one of those movies that you can watch over and over and over again without getting sick of it. I never get sick of it.
Yeah, they're both really good.
Never get tired of it. I know it by heart.
Same. Well, Pernell, this was quite the journey, and I'm so hyped, and I'm going to watch Parent Trap again after we stop recording.
Oh, me too.
But can you tell everyone where they can find you on social media?
Awesome. So you can find me on Instagram at Pernell Langhorne, and like it was mentioned before, I do lots of Disney bound and cosplay, and I'll do film critiques on my stories. But yeah, Instagram is where you can find me. That's where I am mostly.
You have super cute outfits.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I love your outfits. Yeah.
Thank you. I love both of your pages, and I love how, thanks, you know, the Disney community. We're out here. We're communicating. We're such a resource sharing community.
It's true. And yeah. I just want to give you another plug about your work, Pernell. Your skills that, like, as we mentioned, you work in the art department for NBC Superstore. Those skills definitely show through on your Instagram because you do some beautiful fantasy edits on your photos. They're amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. I wanna make things that really take people out of their norm and just give people a little sense of joy, whatever they need in the time, especially nowadays with everything happening. I think, you know, everyone needs that little bit of Disney magic. And, you know, you both are doing that right now with your podcast. And so we're all working to keep everyone, you know, hyped up on the magic. And, you know, Walt would be happy and proud of what we're doing. Aww. Like,
you're gonna make me cry. Well, before I start crying, Melanie, why don't you tell everyone where we can find you?
Oh yeah, I'm on Instagram at Keep Quirky and on Twitter at Keep Quirky OC. And Jess, do you want to share where you are?
Yeah, you can find me at The Healthy Mouse on Instagram and on Twitter at healthy_mouse and thehealthymouse.com. And for our podcast.
Yes, for our podcast, you can find us on Instagram at Cartoons to Castles, on Twitter at Cartoons Castles, and you can also email us if you need to at cartoons2castles@gmail.com. And if you want to share the podcast and you're wondering where you should go to tell friends about it, send them to cartoons2castles.com, where you can find all of the places where you can listen to the podcast.
Yes. Well, we can't wait to do a future episode with you and get back together.
Yeah.
Perfect ending. We'll be having twice the fun. Thanks for listening.
Till next time, keep dreaming.